It's a guessing game. It's a guessing game. It's a guessing game. It's a guessing game.
Thank you very much. Hello, I'm Clive Anderson. Welcome to the Guessing Game. Points are awarded for lucky guesses, witty remarks and creative thinking. To play the Guessing Games, we've pulled together a top panel of some of the funniest comedians working today. Well, working here today at any rate. They're a virtual who's who of comedy, or possibly a who's that. Our first team captain is a stand-up who once said she doesn't want any special treatment in comedy because she's a woman. So please give a big fluffy welcome to tonight's token female stand-up. It's Susan Kalman.
Hello.
And on Susan's team is another former lawyer who turned to comedy after most of his cases got laughed out of court. It's Keith Farnham. there are more lawyers here tonight than the O.J. Simpson trial. Now, a clue to our second team captain's name is that he presents the radio show The Horn Section. But he's not one to blow his own trumpet. It's Alex Horn. With Alex today is a stand-up comedian and actor. Asked what kind of roles he preferred, he said, ham and cheese. Welcome, Hal Cottenberg. Also with us on stage is our house band, the Gus and Finn Four.
Radio. It's round one.
Yes, indeed. Everything's spontaneous tonight. Now, right, let's get straight into the game. This is a quick-fire round. Buzz in with a guess. Don't worry about being made to look foolish. We're way past that point now. So, teams, you score 2 points for each correct answer and 1 point just for a funny guess. Now, question one. What is golfer Tiger Woods' favourite hole?
As a golfer myself.
Oh, you're a golfer, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Why is that funny?
I don't know.
The fifth hole on Shishkin Golf Course is my favourite hole.
Yeah, I think that's...
Because it's a
beautiful...
But
the question wasn't what your favourite hole is, it's what Tiger Woods... you're unlucky there.
Is it the hole that... There's a really famous YouTube clip where he chips, like, from behind a tree around a corner while on a bus and there's a polar bear chasing him. And he manages to sink it in.
It's hole 16 at the Cypress Point course in America. So is that what's on your YouTube clip?
Yeah.
Oh, then you get the points then. You get 2 points for at least being prepared to lie very quickly. Let's go on to question two, then. Why might Hugh Hefner be jealous of a jellyfish?
He slept with over 1,000 play bunnies. Is
Has
that
he?
It's
a lot bunny of girls, I
think
they're
called.
Play,
yeah,
play bunnies. Playboy Club
like
bunnies.
That. It's
yes,
much
yeah.
more your generation.
It's not really... Well, now, you're edging towards the right answer there. It's age we're talking about here.
Jellyfish can have children until they die.
They have jelly babies, obviously. So that's what you're saying. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. But
yeah.
But when do they die?
They live for a long time.
Long time. How long?
5 million.
I'll give you 2 points for that. I'll give you 2 points for that because the point about it is not absolutely every type of jellyfish. There's one particular one. It's actually called the immortal jellyfish because it's considered biologically immortal. Now you sort of got to the answer with a bit of pushing and shoving.
I don't think any of us believe you.
Question four. Why is Simon Cowell glad he's not a snail?
He thinks because he's slightly vain, I understand it, that a manly chest is the most attractive thing in a gentleman. And so I've seen footage of him doing it.
Yes.
He does on the fists and he does hundreds and hundreds of push-ups a day so that he's got a very developed chest.
Okay, I'm noting that down. Simon Cowell does it on... The fist. And so what else about him to for his looks? What else is he keen to good look
with? Oh, about his looks?
Yes. What do you think?
His teeth.
Oh, his teeth. So why is he glad he's not a snail?
Because snails...
Don't have teeth.
But I know he's had lots of work. Snails have loads of teeth.
They do.
And it would cost him the earth to get
his
teeth done.
They
snails have teeth.
They have 25... they have up to... 25,000 teeth. I'm going to give Hal 2 points there. I think I kind of helped you, but you've got the points. Yeah. So that is the end of the round. Well done. And at the end of the round, the scoring that means is that Susan's team, you have just the 2 points, but Alex's team has 5 points. So well done.
It's round two and we're looking good. Round two.
Indeed, round two. And it's... This round is called Guess the Moment, and it features our band, Gus and the Fin Four. Now, they're going to play a tune that relates to a famous moment in time. Now, as we're here in the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, we have a proper, classically trained actor to perform voiceovers, vignettes, and even sound effects. Harry Gooch. Harry's just come back from filming with Keira Knightley. Well, Harry was filming. Keira Knightley didn't even know he was in our house. Let's do the music and the, okay, and the acting and see if Susan's team can work out what's going on here.
Order in the court!
Your cheating heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep. But sleep won't come. The whole night through, your cheating heart will tell on you. Your cheating heart will tell on you.
This is the question: hell hath no fury like an economist scorned. So, what are we hinting at here?
Somebody's cheated on somebody else.
Someone's cheated on somebody else, indeed. You've got that from the cheating word repeated several times.
And very quick, like that.
What else do we have in that?
We had chains.
Chains, yes. Hell hath no fury like an economist scorned.
Like an economist.
Chris Hune.
Yes.
And who was he married to?
Oh, you're one with the head.
Yes.
She had a head.
Hair
and glasses.
What was her job, for example?
She was an economist.
An economist.
This is
like pulling snail's teeth. This is
Vicky Purcell.
Price. Vicky Purcell is almost her name.
Vicky Price.
Yes.
It was. Let's just edit this bit in.
I'm exhausted.
Clive, I think it is Chris Hune.
Yes.
Divorce from Vicky Price.
Yeah, so she was scorned. Yes. Well done. I'll give you the 2 points because I feel I've earned it as well from the amount of effort I had to put into that. Okay, let's see if this is easier for the other team.
Put on your high heels, baby, 'cause we're going out tonight. Put on your high heels, baby, 'cause we're going out tonight. And wear some boxing gloves in case some cats want to start a fight.
So here's the question. Here's the question. There's a clue in the question. Who was solely responsible for this assault? Who was solely responsible?
The song involved high heels. Yeah. I've never seen a high heel being thrown yet.
It's only a high heel. It's not vital that it's a high heel, except it's a female shoe was thrown.
I didn't know that they had genders, but it's a female shoe.
Well, okay. So. Another clue here. It was a throw in the wrong direction.
Ah, one.
Oh, there's a section of the audience knows.
Yes,
this.
I think the audience have got this as well.
I also know it, Clive.
Oh, do you? Everyone knows it. You know it.
I know it.
The two.
But I'm not prepared to
reveal it.
To reveal it. Yeah. So someone threw a shoe at One Direction. Is that right?
Oh, I know.
Yes. And but who in One Direction?
It's a tabloid story.
Harry Styles. It was Harold Styles.
Harold Styles
got whacked by a shoe.
Yes.
In Glasgow. The gob,
and it's a good news story as well.
It's a good news story. And why did she do that? Was it
because she had sense?
She saw Taylor Swift.
She was a fan. Well, you know the story.
It hit him in the groinal area.
I read it. He hit him in the gorbals. That's how I had it down.
But, and I think it shows the commitment of young Glaswegian women that they're prepared to walk home with only one shoe.
Yeah.
That they threw it. And what a name. I think it bodes well for the Commonwealth Games next year. That our young people have such adept throwing arms.
Well, there were things snapping while you were doing it. Yes,
they're not. These yoga pants really aren't what I hoped.
Well, nor me, but there we are. Five, but Alex's team has six, so you're still in the lead, but only just. Okay.
Round three.
Okay, round three is a quotations round. Yoda from Star Wars said, "Do or do not, there is no try." Stirring words from what is essentially a glove puppet. Now, we're going to give you a quote, and you guess who originally said it. And to do this, with the quotations will be performed by Harry in character, but not necessarily in the character who actually first made this remark. Harry, are you prepared?
I was doing some very deep stretching.
I noticed that, yes. I can't even rule that out on sort of sub judice grounds, that we mustn't make disparaging remarks because he is accused of murder.
If someone in the crowd spits at you, you've just got to swallow it.
Okay, but sort of the thing, with Heather Small from M People, because she's so positive, isn't she? I could see her taking that. That's a good motto for life.
Who would spit at Heather Small?
Who wouldn't?
No, nobody would. Okay, well, you're not right, but you're not even the right industry necessarily.
Is it a sport-related answer, Clive?
Oh, well done.
Thank
yes,
you.
It is, yes.
It's, well, so it's somebody in football who gets spat at a lot. Well, do you want to choose someone?
Well, there used to be a team in Scotland years ago. What were they called? Rangers, I think they were called.
Careful where you go with this.
Some people clapping. I'll be looking to them for the fight later.
Is it Wayne Rooney, Gary Lineker, or John Terry?
Oh,
it sounds like the kind of thing that like Wayne Rooney would release as a perfume, sort of spit by Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
So is that your answer?
Yeah,
you're going
Wayne
for
Rooney.
Wayne Rooney is wrong. You've got
It's got to be. It's got to be Terry. It's got to be John Terry.
He can't talk. I think it's Lineker because Terry's never done more than two words in a row. Honestly.
Okay, I'll give you the point. Gary Lineker, you get one point for getting this.
They just said the two names. They just...
Yeah.
They didn't have to make a decision. They just said the two names.
They just had a conversation. He said Gary Lineker. Can we move on to Harry's next quote for the next question?
I wouldn't know a space-time continuum or warp core breach if they got into bed with me.
A very fine version of that. Yes, indeed.
William Shatner.
William Shatner's not right. It's not a bad guess,
Ooh.
Though. It's not is a it, bad guess.
Sorry. Oh.
Stephen Hawking, but he wouldn't have said it like that.
He was one of the options I was going to give you, but it's not the right
is
one.
Is it the pretty boy of science, Brian Cox?
Do you know, you've all rattled through the options I was going to give you. So you're working in the wrong line, but
give
this is wrong.
Give
I can't
options,
give you the options now.
It's the only one left.
But, yeah, let them have a conversation about it and you can give them the
Shatner
points.
The Shatner one was as close as you... So think of somebody
so
like
someone
that.
Someone who's in a sci-fi.
Someone in
that's
sci-fi.
It.
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart, yes. You get your point there. Yes. 2 points for that, because you got there in a competitive environment. Another quote, please, from Harry.
I hate feet. They're disgusting. What are they even for?
Okay. Can you remember this? Do you remember it being said by somebody?
Yes.
Did he say feet?
All you have to do is the next bit and say their name. Yes, sorry, Hal.
Oscar Pistorius. Is that too dark? Sorry.
Do we get a point for that because of that? Can we get a point?
I said it and I suddenly thought, this is too early for that.
I think I can even rule that out on sort of sub judice grounds that we mustn't make disparaging remarks because he is accused of murder at the time of recording.
I got confused and was desperate to win.
Yes. I can see the horrible logic of your remark.
English.
Do you really expect to get 2 points for that? Yes, in a happy quiz.
I'm disowning my team.
You're disowning
him. I am now
on
Susan's team.
Okay. Serious. So that's not right. So I'm going to give you the options, in which case you're obviously going to get it. Is it A, ant, or B, deck, or C, ant and deck, or D, ant or deck, or E, Peter Andre?
Peter Andre.
Peter Andre is great. 2 points. Well done. I don't know what he quite meant.
Well, there was a very particular episode where he was discussing the conversion from the imperial system to the metric system, and he said, "Feasts, I just don't know what they're for."
Oh, very good. I'll give you a point for that. That's a good analysis. Yes. So, another quote from Harry, please.
We managed to wrong a few rights.
Oh, this is exciting. This is a different quote from the one I was expecting you to do. So, so I don't even know who said it. So, do you know who said it? Don't say it. Don't say it. Just tell me if you know who said it.
I know. I've got options.
You've got. Do you know what is the right option?
I think so.
Okay. Do the quote again, and then...
And then we'll all guess. Yes. This is good.
This is so professional. Yeah. I'm loving this.
Yeah.
We managed to wrong a few rights.
It's a good quotation. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I've learned a lot during this programme. Mainly I've learned that I know nothing, but... Every show George Bush is mentioned, it's worth going for Bush at some point.
Oh, George W. Bush.
Just because he tends to say things wrong.
Is that right?
Is he an option?
It's not the correct answer.
Oh, right.
What are the options?
The options are Tony Blair, Kevin Keegan, Rupert Murdoch.
You sounded like this.
Okay, what's your guess?
Only because I sound like him, Tony Blair.
You do sound like Tony Blair.
And
you look like Tony Blair.
Do I?
You
do. I'm a little bit fatter, but I'm quite excited to be said that.
It's not, though, because it's Kevin Keegan, because he said that when he was talking. It was an after-match, post-match press conference, and he was talking about the performance of the England team.
Okay.
So it's Kevin Keegan.
Well done. You get 2 points for knowing it. Even I didn't know it. I want to move on from this. Oh, something strange happened to the score, because, Alex, you were doing so well. You've got 7 points, but Susan's team has mysteriously got 12 points. No. I don't even know how that happened. My favourite of the round stings. This is a specialist subject round. We've saved time by choosing the subjects for our panellists. If you're playing along at home, send all your answers to us via the BBC, and remember to mark your envelope, Clive Anderson Fan Mail. The house band... Thank you very much. They may get lost, obviously, in the deluge. The house band will play a themed musical backdrop while I ask both teams some questions. Each team will confer and write their answers down, and when the music stops, I will go over the questions one by one. The teams have to buzz in against each other with guesses. So your specialist subject is gangster nicknames. Gangster nicknames. Is a good round, this? First in our Hall of Infamy, how did Angelo Quack Quack Ruggiero get his nickname? Which is Quack Quack. Not Angelo. Jake Greasy Thumb Guzik. How did his thumb get so greasy? Charlie Monkey Face Genka. What attribute earned him his reputation? And our final felon is Mickey Cheesebox Callahan. What was so cheesy about Mickey? Okay. So, Angelo Quack Quack Ruggiero. How did he get his nickname?
He looked like a duck. He quacked like a duck. He was a duck, Clive.
Before I award any points here, I want you to somebody to hit on something specific.
Did he qualify as a psychiatrist twice?
No.
A big bill or something? A big bill.
No, that's the lawyers team. They know about big bills, so they... any other suggestions?
Okay, he had a duck on his face permanently. He wore a duck face mask.
Oh, wait, I know. It was because he was abducted.
Oh, this is... You're in danger of losing your joke points there.
That's my guy right there. That's Quack Quack. He's here tonight.
You were all close, but I have to move on. He earned the name Quack Quack because of two reasons. Because he was extremely talkative nature. So he didn't exactly sound like a duck, but he talked a lot. Quack, quack, quack. And because he suffered from painful inflammation of the feet, which gave him a duck-like waddle. So you didn't quite get close enough, but that's a good reason. Quack, quack. Jake Greasy Thumb Guzik. How did he get... why Greasy Thumb?
Well, Greasy Thumb tends to come... In my experience, when I've had a greasy thumb, is when I've... I didn't even say anything.
Yeah. It's the way you say it, Susan. I don't know
why. When I get a greasy thumb.
You get a greasy thumb. Tell us how you get
chippy,
a greasy thumb.
You go to the chippy. They've got fritters on. It's always a good day when there's fritters on.
Yes.
You get a fritter roll.
Yeah.
And
a profiter roll, you mean?
A fritter roll.
Fritter roll.
You get a fritter roll. And then as you're going, waiting for the bus, because I'm a classy lady, I've had a fritter roll and a pickled egg, and I'm away home. And
are you on your own or in a group of people while you're doing this? On your own.
Oh. Delicious bit at the end.
Yes.
You use your thumb and you get a greasy thumb. And then you suck the greasy thumb on the way home on the bus. That is a Glasgow greasy thumb.
That's a Glasgow greasy thumb, but I don't think Jack Greasy Thumb Guzik was a Glaswegian.
It must be to do with... What, greasing someone's palm with...
With
what? Is that from Greece? So it must be money.
Money,
must
yes.
Greece.
Bribing, bribing.
So he was a...
You've bribing. Got your points
to,
there, yes.
You.
2 points
bribe
there.
With the
Charlie Monkey Face Genka. What about that? Yes.
Right. I'm just going,
yes.
I'm just doing the obvious. He had a face that looked
he
like a monkey.
He had a face that looked like a monkey.
I think it's the opposite.
No.
It's an ironic nickname. He had a face that didn't look like a monkey.
Well, loads of us have faces that look slightly like monkeys because we're a similar group.
You say you look
we?
Like Tony Blair, now yeah, you say you look like a monkey. What's going on? While working in Chicago's brothels, Genka proved adept at climbing up doors and peeking over the top to tell clients to hurry up. I feel I need him here on some of these rounds to get you moving along. Our final felon is Mickey Cheesebox Callahan. What about that?
Big Tupperware fan.
Yeah.
Always seen clutching his cheese box. Because
yes.
if you put them in there, they stay fresher and the smell doesn't permeate the fridge. Mm.
You haven't spent a lot of time with gangsters, have you?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
Cheesebox didn't actually have a personal hygiene issue or have anything to do with actual cheese boxes. He got his nickname because of his ability to use a device called a cheese box to fox the police by diverting phone calls to unknown locations. Alex's team has 9. Susan's team has 13.
Run 5, run 5, run 5. Run 5, run 5, run 5, run 5. Run 5.
Oh, no, this... Round 5 is called Guess My Story. We've scoured the local newspapers to find amusing stories and invited a person involved to share their story with us. But is there a Tony Bradford in the audience? There you are, Tony. Yes, good to see you. Thank you. A round of applause for Tony to come along. So, we've broken down the story into 3 bullet points. I'm going to get Tony to go through each of these points. He'll end each one by saying, can you guess my story? If you can guess the story after the first bullet point, then you'll get maybe 5 points.
How many points am I behind?
You are 4 points behind. So
I have 1 crack at this.
If you happen to get this on the first one...
Yeah, what did you... just?
No, don't cheat like that. Anyway. So if you could take it away, Tony, that'd be great.
The big decision we had to make was whether to hire costumes or buy them. When we knew what we were going to do in front of the webcam, and that was going to be available on the internet, we wanted to make it look just right. People all around the world will be able to see exactly what we get up to in Edinburgh.
Okay, now quiet in the room.
This made the local papers?
National.
They're asking supplementary questions.
Yeah, you are,
yes.
He did
I
mention
am.
People all around the world, but you know, that's the nature of...
Did you do a horrendous crime, like in a really awful one?
He's actually sitting next to something that looks like there is sort of somebody from the prison office or something. Yeah. He's
so you're guessing?
He's been allowed out for the day.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is Edinburgh costumes. Were you going to do some sort of Harlem Shake in the middle of Edinburgh?
Harlem Shake? Is it Harlem Shake?
No.
You're so smug when you say no there.
You've got an Edinburgh Shake
so
there, which
smug.
Is just no.
Yeah.
No, that's an Edinburgh Shake.
It was slightly superior.
Like a Harlem Shake, and it's a bit durer. Now, okay, give us the second clue, if you would.
This gave me a chance to get in front of the camera and show the world what I can do. It was exciting for me because normally I have to guide and talk about the 2 real stars of the show. They can be very temperamental. I quite like the dressing up as well. When I went to collect the costumes, I think the people at the shop thought it was a really weird stag do.
Okay. I think I've got it, and it's frustrating that if I get it, I only get 3 points. So, is it the visitors from China? Is it the pandas?
Is it the pandas?
Oh. It is.
Yes, and it is. Well done.
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
Got it. You have to welcome the panda, make them feel at home.
Okay, well, explain why were you dressing up in these costumes then?
We got new webcams at the zoo, high-tech webcams, to follow them. The old ones didn't follow the pandas about, so the new ones now follow whether they're inside or outside. But they're used to following fast things and multicoloured things. So I had to get into a panda costume, go into the enclosures, and move slowly to make sure they could pick me up and that they didn't think the black and white was shadow.
That sounds like a rather lame excuse for wearing a costume and getting into the cage with them.
I do what I'm told when I'm told to get in a costume.
Well, I saw this story. I didn't really take it in. I assumed that you got into these costumes because pandas are notoriously quite hard to get to mate with each other, and I assume the two of you were showing them what to do.
But you were a very attractive man when you stood up, and I thought, that's what they're doing. They're just going to get them interested.
Why is it so difficult to get them to... They're very picky eaters, aren't they?
And they're incredibly picky eaters. It's just bamboo.
Yes.
They eat about 15 kilos of bamboo each a day.
Yeah. It's Moorish, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't mean to upset anyone, but I went to see the pandas, and it was like, oh, whatever... Penguins are awesome. The pandas were just sitting there like that, whatever.
We've just opened our new penguin enclosure, which now has a flume for them
as
well.
I know, it's got a flume for penguins.
Okay.
What you don't know is while you weren't watching, the pandas did a Harlem Shake.
Yes.
You should check it out. It's on YouTube. It's very
okay.
Good.
Well,
it's very slow, but it's good.
I will give 3 points to Alex's team for getting that right, and the points to you, Tony Bradford, for coming along and sharing what sounds like a very fascinating job. Well done. So I'm afraid that means we've come to the end of the quiz. With that 3 points, Alex, and your teammate Hal, you've gone up to 12 points.
Oh. Yes.
Which means you come second because Susan's team for 13 points. Well done. Okay, well, all that remains to thank all of my guests today, Keith Farnham, Hal Crockenden, and team captains Susan Kalman and Alex Horn. And our resident thespian, Harry Gooch, not forgetting our house band, the Gus and Finn Four. You've been listening to, or you've just tuned in and just missed The Guessing Game, the show that puts the fun into funny peculiar. This is me, Clive Allen, saying goodbye. Goodbye.
This episode of Clive Anderson's Guessing Game was written by Michael Beck, Chris Conroy, Owen Cooper, James Bowden, John McGlade, Chan Bevan and James Felton.